Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an extra episode of Paranormal Stories, and in this episode, I'm talking about Ted Sirius and his psychic photographs. In the spring of 1964, in a modest Denver hotel room, a stocky, energetic man named Ted Sirius stood before a Polaroid camera, a crowd of scientists watching him with wary fascination. He was a bellhop by trade, a drinker by habit, and by his own insistence, the world's first modern photographer, a man who could project mental images directly onto photographic film. When the camera clicked, the onlookers leaned in. The Polaroid sheet, blank and milky, slowly darkened. Then, from the haze, something began to take form. The facade of a building that none of them had seen, yet which Ted claimed to be a visualization in his mind. It was a moment both electric and unnerving. Could a human being truly impress his thoughts onto film? This was the enigma that would define the next decade of Sirius's life, and challenge the boundaries between science, consciousness, and the photographic image. Ted Sirius was born in Kansas in 1918, a restless and mischievous soul who worked for years as a bellhop in Chicago's downtown hotels. He had little formal education and no scientific training. Yet by the early 1960s, he had stumbled onto something extraordinary. Friends said it began as a party trick. Ted would hold a Polaroid camera, shout, and somehow produce strange, ghost-like images on the film. The results were inconsistent, sometimes nothing at all, sometimes bursts of light, and occasionally startlingly clear forms, as if plucked from a dream. Word spread quickly, and before long, Sirius was demonstrating his abilities to parapsychologists, photographers, and journalists. Among those drawn to his claim was Dr. Jules Eisenbud, a psychiatrist and professor at the University of Colorado Medical School. Eisenbud was not a gullible man. He was a disciplined clinician, fascinated by the intersection of psychology and the paranormal. After witnessing one of Sirius's performances, he felt something remarkable was happening, something that could not be dismissed as sleight of hand or hallucination. Thus began one of the most unusual scientific collaborations in modern history. Eisenbud's study of Ted Sirius would last nearly a decade and produce hundreds of Polaroid photographs, some luminous and abstract, others startlingly specific. But from the start, Eisenbud knew the experiments would be meaningless unless strict precautions were observed. Sirius's preferred tool was the Polaroid 95, a camera prized for its instant results and sealed mechanism. Because the developing process occurred within the film itself, no darkroom manipulation was possible. Each photograph emerged directly from the camera, in full view of the witnesses. During a typical session, the procedure was elaborate and carefully recorded. The camera was inspected before and after each exposure. The film packs were kept under lock and key, numbered and initialed by the observers. Sirius was often stripped of his coat, jacket, or hat pockets to ensure he carried nothing that might contain hidden images or reflections. The most debated of his tools was his small gizmo, a short tube, sometimes a rolled piece of paper, sometimes a plastic cylinder. Sirius said it helped him focus his concentration, as though channeling the picture from his mind to camera. Critics suggested it might conceal a miniature transparency. To remove the doubt, Eisenbud frequently took the gizmo away entirely, substituting one of his own choosing, or having Sirius perform without it. The results, remarkably, continued. Eisenbud also devised double-blind setups. At times, he had others load the film into the camera out of Sirius's sight. In some cases, Sirius worked from a distance, standing several feet from the camera. Even under these conditions, the strange photographs appeared, blurs, shapes, and occasionally distinct images of buildings or objects. Eisenbud invited independent photographers, physicists, and magicians to attend sessions. Among them were experts from the University of Denver and professional photographers familiar with every variety of optical trick. None could identify a mechanical explanation for what they witnessed when the controls were properly observed. Watching Ted work was an event in itself, a peculiar blend of ritual, concentration, and emotional release. He would sit before the camera, sometimes holding his gizmo to his forehead, eyes squeezed shut, as though wrestling with something invisible. He called the moments of success hits. A successful hit was preceded by a sudden intensity, serious muttering, sometimes shouting, his face contorted with effort. He described the sensation as if he were pushing an image outward through space. The strain was visible, perspiration, trembling hands, and even a kind of psychic exhaustion after the film was peeled open. Observers spoke of the palpable charge in the room. Not fear, exactly, but expectancy, as if everyone was standing at the edge of an impossible threshold. When the image materialized, Sirius often seemed more surprised than triumphant, staring at the picture as if seeing it for the first time. He never claimed full control. "It's like fishing," he told Eisenbud. "You throw out the line and hope something bites." Over the years, Sirius produced hundreds of thoughtographs. Many were failures, blank exposures or smoky blurs, but others defied explanation. There are architectural images showing facades and towers no one present could identify, later found to resemble buildings from other cities or photographs in books Sirius had never seen. There were geographical scenes, such as the image known as the Parthenon picture, which bore a striking resemblance to a postcard of the Athenian ruins, though Sirius had no access to it. One of the most famous was the so-called Denver Hilton image, produced before the hotel was completed. The picture showed an outline consistent with the architectural drawings later published in the press. Another remarkable case involved Sirius producing an image under near-impossible conditions. In this test, the camera was enclosed within a box, its shutter operated remotely by a switch so that neither Sirius nor anyone else could tamper with the lens. Sirius stood several feet away, eyes closed, and attempted to project a mental image. When the film was removed, a faint rectangular structure appeared, unaccounted for by reflection or refraction. The photographs were labelled, catalogued, and preserved under strict documentation. Each session was recorded in Eisenbud's notebooks, complete with witness signatures and technical details, the film batch, lighting conditions, exposure distance, and Sirius's behaviour. Some of these images, when enlarged, revealed details, windows, lettering, even what looked like architectural ornamentation. Others remained amorphous, dreamlike, as though halfway between thought and manifestation. Eisenbud believed that what Sirius demonstrated was not magic, but a previously unknown interaction between the psyche and physical reality. He speculated that certain emotional or psychic states might momentarily affect the film emulsion, perhaps through electromagnetic or psychokinetic means that science had yet to discover. To probe the boundaries of the phenomenon, Eisenbud varied the conditions. Sometimes Sirius worked while heavily intoxicated, sometimes sober. He produced thoughtographs in daylight and darkness, indoors and outdoors, with witnesses standing inches away. The most consistent factor seemed to be his mental and emotional state, relaxed focus combined with intense desire. To Eisenbud, this pattern suggested that the effect was not trickery, but an expression of a deep psychological process, perhaps something akin to dreaming or automatic writing, but imprinted physically. He also noted that the images often reflected Sirius's personality and interests, grand architecture, mechanical objects, historical monuments. They seemed to mirror a man fascinated by grandeur, but trapped in a modest life, a bellhop imagining castles. Because claims of psychic photography invite suspicion, Eisenbud took extraordinary care to invite outside scrutiny. Dozens of witnesses from diverse fields, psychiatrists, physicists, engineers, photographers, and journalists, attended sessions between 1964 and 1967. Among them was Dr. J.B. Rhine, a founder of modern parapsychology, who, though cautious, expressed admiration for the rigour of Eisenbud's methods. Members of the American Society for Psychical Research observed sessions firsthand. Some left unconvinced, but none could point to concrete evidence of trickery during the controlled tests. To guard against hidden slides or reflective materials, Eisenbud sometimes sealed Sirius's hands in transparent plastic bags, leaving only his fingers free to hold the camera. In other sessions, the gizmo was examined before and after each attempt, even replaced with one provided by the observers themselves. In one famous test, the film and camera were both supplied by the Eastman Kodak Research Laboratories. Company representatives personally monitored the process, ensuring that neither film nor camera could be tampered with. Even under these watchful conditions, images still appeared, faint but undeniably present. Eisenbud later wrote, "Each control that should have stopped the phenomenon only seemed to make it more astonishing." To modern eyes, the thoughtographs possess a haunting beauty. Many resemble dream imagery, partial forms, blurs of light, fragments of buildings emerging from darkness. Some are abstract compositions of tone and shadow, suggesting motion or transformation. Experts who examined the photographs under magnification found no evidence of double exposure, retouching, or the presence of foreign images on the film surface. The patterns did not correspond to fingerprints, scratches, or chemical contamination. In one particularly convincing sequence, Sirius was asked to think of something circular. The resulting Polaroid displayed a luminous ring, slightly off-center, consistent with no optical artifact known to the technicians. Eisenbud concluded that the images were not illusions or reflections, but genuine photographic impressions produced through an unknown mechanism. He considered the possibility that Sirius's concentration might emit subtle electromagnetic fields capable of influencing the developing emulsion. Although no definitive theory emerged, the empirical record was extensive. Over the course of hundreds of sessions, more than 400 photographs were produced under supervision, with at least a quarter classified as positive results. Despite the public fascination, Sirius himself seemed ambivalent about his gift. He often complained that the process left him exhausted or disorientated, as though he had emptied part of himself into each photograph. He also struggled with the pressure of expectation. When the images failed to appear, as they often did, he grew irritable, frustrated, even despondent. "You can't force it," he would mutter. "It comes when it wants." Eisenbud treated Sirius not as a performer, but as a research subject, and in some ways a patient. Their relationship blended scientific curiosity with compassion. The doctor saw in Ted's chaotic energy a window into the untapped capacities of the human mind. Eisenbud's 1967 book, The World of Ted Sirius, was both documentation and defence. Hundreds of pages of notes, photographs, and witness statements. "I make no claim to know how Ted does what he does," he wrote. "I only claim that he does it." To believers, Sirius demonstrated that consciousness could act directly upon reality. To others, he embodied the mystery of creativity itself. A man whose imagination burned so fiercely, it etched itself into silver halide. Even today, those who study his case are struck by the sincerity of the witnesses and the consistency of the results. Whether or not one accepts a paranormal explanation, the record remains one of the most thoroughly documented anomalies in modern psychical research. As the years passed, Sirius's fame faded, but his photographs endured. Haunting relics of an age when technology and mysticism briefly converged. In recent decades, art historians have rediscovered his work, exhibiting the photographs as expressions of visionary art rather than scientific proof. Their appeal lies partly in their ambiguity. Each image seems suspended between fact and imagination, between the camera and the dream. In their soft gradients and spectral forms, one senses the pulse of the man who made them, impulsive, driven, yearning to be seen. Today I was talking about Ted Sirius and his psychic photographs. My book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is out now on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or on Kindle. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife, or click the button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.